Welcome into another edition of The Session with Londa and David. My name is David Austin, and I'm very excited to announce that sitting across from me today is the prettiest girl I know, Londa Sherwood Austin. And you just look spectacular today with that denim-y shirt you've got cooking on. I love it.
Thank you.
Is that thing on your necklace an S or an L? I can't tell.
It's an S.
Okay.
One of the children gave it to me.
For Sherwood.
I think it was Ada. No.
Ada Grace. No, not for sure. For Supermom.
No. For Shirley.
Your mom's name.
Yeah, my mom. But conveniently enough, also one of my last names.
That's exactly right. And it's hyphenated, so it's Sherwood hyphen Austin.
Right, because I was not going to give anything up.
Which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I just wish we had...
But add to.
I just wish we used the Middle Eastern naming system.
I'm going to punch you straight in the neck.
Where everybody right associated now with me, their middle and last name is David Austin.
The name of this episode is Punch You in the Neck.
I would love it if you were Londa David Austin.
I'm sure you would. No, thank you.
I love that naming system. I think it's great.
I think it's ridiculous. And
we're not mocking cultures here. It's not ridiculous. It's just different than what you're used to.
Seriously, I'm going to come across this table and cause you bodily harm.
Well, I'm all for woman power, and I would be David Londa Sherwood if that were the only choice. I would totally do that because I want everybody to know
that
I'm tied to you. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so getting off of that.
Good Lord, yeah.
I don't know why that struck a chord with you. You looked really frustrated. So I was poking the tiger. I was going back at it. Those faces are great for TV. They don't work for radio.
Well, let me describe them.
Okay, please.
Rage.
Yes, rage.
Frustration. Disdain, even.
Disdain? Maybe.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Disdain? I'm
inviting you to move forward.
Okay, fine. I will not try to unpack that, but it's a little scary. I will I will admit that that's a little scary to me. So there you go.
I don't mean to be scary.
Sometimes you are, and I just don't understand it. And, you know, what can we do?
Well, I have a little, pent-up rage. What do you want?
Okay. We said that when we got back from Washington State, our trip home to Washington, where we spent time with the kids.
Not enough. It was never enough. I like one-on-one time with every single one of them.
Right.
I like to sit and look in their adorable little faces and have, you know, deep conversation with every single one.
Sure.
And I didn't get that this time, and that makes me sad, but...
We'll
be back in 5 weeks for
right.
10 days.
And I feel like we did get that. It's weird, right? It's all perspective. Getting to see all the kids, getting to hang out.
Yeah, we got to see them at like gatherings, but right. not. Made me sad.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well,
loved what I got.
It was a lovely trip, but a couple of the things we wanted to do while we were there didn't happen. For instance, I wanted to hook up with Greg Frechette to plan our Wine Country edition.
Right.
I went to Frechette.
We did.
Saw his mother. Mm-hmm. Thought it was great.
Yep.
But
saw Jaden.
Greg and Shay were not around.
They were
taking the day off.
MIA.
It was a Monday.
Yeah.
I everybody gets a day off, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And we didn't get to see JD.
We didn't get to see JD, although we did have dinner at Fat Olive's restaurant.
We did, but we were going to pop into the graduation party.
And then time ran away from us because we had a baby first birthday party. We had the actual graduation, and we had the graduation party.
And in between, we showed houses, and we met with...
had a realtor meeting.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So busy.
Just that day.
Yeah.
It was crazy, but... Yeah, it was super good.
Super good. Love seeing my partners. Got to spend some good time with them on Friday, which was lovely. Mm-hmm. And saw them and strategized a little bit, worked on business. And this time, I'm very pleased. Rob was super busy because his son was graduating as well.
His baby. Yeah,
well, there's one younger.
Is there? Oh, their daughter is younger. That's right.
Well, there are two younger. Then they've got the daughter and a younger son.
I was thinking it was his baby for a second, and I thought time can't have gone that quickly by.
Yeah, not that fast. But so that we Saturday or rather Friday. I was able to focus a little bit more at work because weren't all together. So it wasn't just a festival of high-fiving and partying like rock stars.
I gotcha.
So that was good.
I had fun on Friday because I got to meet clients that I've only talked to on the phone and emailed. And we finally got to meet face-to-face. I got to take them out and show them properties.
Right.
And it was really, really exceptional. I was super jazzed after meeting with them. And you know, when you have clients that you feel like you just click with and you like, I thought that. And then when I got face to face, it was such a confirmation that I'm right for them. They're right for me. It's just a beautiful relationship. I love it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. It was a great trip. And what I learned while we were on that trip, because I had time flying in the airplane, so I was able to watch YouTube videos about production with podcasts and YouTube and live streaming, was that I need to learn more about live streaming. I learned that.
We're learning.
You plug in the computer and you plug in the board and magical presto.
Right.
There it is. It's not quite that easy.
One gigantic experiment is what it feels like to me. And that's one thing that it's interesting actually, because I tell a lot of the clients that I work with for business consulting and coaching, never lose that sense of wonder, you know, that you're
isn't that a country song?
Probably.
I hope you never lose that sense of wonder. Hope you dance.
It's something like that, yes. So anyway, but I say, you know, if you look at your business as just one giant experiment, then you never lose your creativity. You never get stuck in one way to do something. You're always open to learning new things. And I guess that's always just been innate in me. But when I started real estate, it was affirmed in me reaffirmed by Tanya Callies, who's a pretty well-known realtor in Tri-Cities, Washington. And she always is looking to learn more, always, and is a very open-minded when it comes to real estate. And I just remember thinking, okay, I'm right about this in this arena as well. So yeah, because if you lose your creativity, then it's a little dull.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And it's like what I used to coach sales teams, and I guess I still do through this business.
Yeah.
If you are in a growth mode, it is immaterial what happens in the marketplace. If you are trying to grow your business and every day you're doing the things, the hard work to grow the business, your business will grow regardless of what's happening in the market.
I also think I've talked with, like in talking with my grandparents and my parents as they got older and other older people that were, you know, closer to the end of their life than the beginning. Many of them talk about, you know, being always learning something new, kind of always challenging your brain, and that'll help keep you young. I don't know if there's statistics to back that up, but I'm going to
do that. There absolutely are statistics to back it up. If you continue learning, your brain activity is stronger and you live longer. There are for sure statistics about it.
And there's still lots of things that I want to learn and do. So we're good. We're golden.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I'm super focused on people and I really enjoy people. Mm-hmm. So for me, every single conversation is a learning experience. And I really am interested in getting to know the people I'm talking to.
Natural curiosity.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I had a really good conversation with a family member, your ex-husband's father, over the weekend. I learned a ton. He's a lifelong learner.
My kid's dad.
That's right.
They're my kid's grandpa on the dad's side. That's how I would say that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't often use that ex term. I do, but not often.
Well, you know, I had a great time at that party.
Yeah.
And I've always had a very fond kinship with your former husband.
Yes.
And so it was really cool to meet his dad. and to converse with him.
He's an interesting guy.
Food scientist who became a realtor, yeah, who is a lifelong student.
Yeah, still takes classes at the community college.
That's exactly right.
I've always admired that about him, and he's always like been very interested in businesses, mm-hmm, and he's always talking with business people, and he's been very involved in different community organizations over the years, right. Salvation Army, Kiwanis, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he told me he's been a Kiwanian for 50 years.
Yeah, it's been a long
time. That's cool. And as a former Key Clubber in high school, that's the feeder organization that grows up and goes into Kiwanis. It was really fun getting to know him. And that's
those kind of service organizations can be really good for both your business and your community. So why not?
Yeah. Yep. There you go. So just to add to my interest in communicating with people and learning, that was just one example of a recent one we did while we were home, and what a fun treat that was. So it was great to see everybody. Got to spend time with a little bit of time with all the kids, including Benjamin and Caitlin, mm-hmm, the kids I brought
to
the party.
Caitlin, but that's all right.
Yeah, yeah, she and I went to lunch during David's graduation, right, because the COVID parameters. He only got 8 tickets,
and he's got 6 siblings.
Right. Yeah. And 2 parents.
Exactly. So that was,
there you go. That was,
we take up a row.
Yeah. So then I got to go see the other kids for breakfast, and what a good time that was.
Yeah.
Hills Diner. It burned to the ground. The last day we went there for breakfast, burned completely to the ground. So the rebuild is spectacular, mm-hmm, and it has not burned since we were just there.
How was
so
the service?
It wasn't our
I'm
fault.
Curious.
The service was great. And I think the lady who runs the place, who's trying to retire, was the person who waited on us. So I felt like we got kind of a behind the scenes experience there. You know, she was talking to us about the drama in the restaurant, and one of the servers almost left while we were there, but then came back. It was kind of exciting to see. It was like we were on a field trip to the cheese factory. And the food was just great. You know, Hills always does a good job.
Yeah.
You know,
the
only problem I had with it, to tell you the truth, is they had a legitimate made there country fried steak. And you know I like that trash pressed meat steak that they sell for restaurants and the white gravy. It's really good, don't get me wrong, but it's not the trash food that I'm used to. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole deal. That was my Hills experience with the kids. Had some really good conversations with them. Learned, for instance, that as Benjamin's prepping to go to his junior year of college, mm-hmm, which will be his first year away because he did the Running Start program, mm-hmm, he's going to transfer with Chipotle. And the reason he's going to transfer to that town is because Chipotle's starting wage nationally is $15 an hour.
Yeah. And I just read an article this morning, they're raising their prices to compensate for that. And people are outraged. I guess people who didn't previously connect the dots about that.
Right.
I assumed their prices would go up when I heard them announce they were going to $15 an hour.
Well, yes. And that's the whole argument against raising the minimum wage, right? But mm-hmm, Washington voted to raise it to 15 bucks an hour over time. So Chipotle is just jumping on board and saying, let's do it.
Right.
And, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with the economic model that says we should pay our people more, it shouldn't cost more. That's a crazy, unsustainable, not real model.
Well, and I think if I'm being completely honest and just transparent, people who say that have never run a business.
That's exactly right.
They don't understand how it works. They want the business owner to take all... I think that they want the business owner to take all the expense, all the risk, and give all the benefit to the employees. And that has to be measured. It's not like every business owner is, you know, the fat cat raking in all this money. I think that's an assumption that I see sometimes from people who aren't business owners.
Well,
like, oh, well, the owner's just making all this money. Well, unless you know what the cost of running that business is.
And I say it's immaterial what the cost of running that business is, and here's why. The owner has 100% of the risk.
Right.
So, of course, they should get the reward because they are putting the money out up front, and if the business fails, then it falls on them to either pay back people if they have inventory on their shelves and the business mm-hmm. is not making money. That is a burden. I don't know if you've ever been around somebody who's at a failing business. Mm-hmm. That sure. is tough. It's like having two mortgages and only living in one of the houses. I'm telling you now, after I did a construction loan on one of my houses years ago, and we still had our other house, I'm writing checks for both mortgages. Then I moved into the new house once the construction was complete. And for 3 or 4 months before the other one finally sold and closed, here I am making the payment. And I got to tell you, making a payment on a house you do not go into or rent, you feel like you're going to lose your hair and your teeth. It's yeah. awful, the stress. And that's just a fraction of the stress that's on a business owner if the business is failing. So anyone who says business owners are greedy fat cats and, you know, eat the rich and all that crap that I've heard, the political crap that I've heard about it.
Right.
The simple fact is there are costs associated with a business.
Right.
And unless you are paying those costs, I don't know why you'd be upset if the guy does well. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And until you've run a business, shut your mouth.
Well, yeah. You know, it's all...
I guess you can have an opinion, but it's not a well-educated opinion about
it's all economic theory unless you're writing the checks.
Don't send hate mail because I said that.
Well, no, it's all economic theory unless you're writing the checks. That's,
yeah, it's very true. And I heard someone, I think a business trainer one time, talk about, you know, you can get a degree in business, but how many of your professors have actually had a business?
Well, that's
so
that.
Where's
that's
the
definitely,
practical application of it? And and there's value in a business degree. I'm not saying that there's not.
Right.
I'm also saying there's a lot of value in starting a business and spending that 3, 4, 5, 6 years that you would have been in school running a business. It's like the school of hard knocks, right?
You know what?
And and either or both can get you there, and there's value in each.
That reminds me of a topic that I've been thinking about for quite some time, and that is this spectacular business incubator space mm-hmm. in Lakeland, Florida,
so
called Catapult.
It's gorgeous.
It's a $15 million facility
place.
With zero debt service because of donor payments.
Yeah.
I would say they don't advertise who the major donors are, but I would suspect the largest employer in Lakeland, Publix grocery store, started here, founded here, mm-hmm. is probably the major donor. Again, I have not had that conversation because they do not say who their donors are. But I'm guessing, and their board of directors has some Publix managers on it. That's all I'm saying, Publix managers. Anyway, what I'm saying is it's a beautiful facility with zero debt service.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that facility is it's run like an academic facility. It's not run like I would think a business incubator needs to be run. And here's what I mean by that. At that place, it's beautiful. I mean, the offices are spectacular. The surroundings are unparalleled. You cannot afford to compete with them with that kind of space. Cannot. Unless you've got $15 million to throw at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've got a classroom kitchen downstairs. They've got all kinds of cool podcasting space. They've got a television
studio. Yeah, they've got a room for filming.
That's exactly right. It's a beautiful facility. Here's the problem with the place, though. Because it's run like an academic facility, mm-hmm. not like a business, there's no synergy there. You're actually not allowed to talk about what you do
right
there unless you're approached by someone else who asks you what you do.
And we're talking from the inside out
yep,
because
that's right.
we got here, someone told us about it, we joined it.
Right.
And so we were a part of it.
And I like everybody there. I'm not trying to be critical of them.
I don't have anything against the people. I'm looking at the processes.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate because business happens through networking
yes.
so much of the time.
Yep.
And if I'm not able to tell people who I am and what I do, unless they specifically ask, it reminds me of a story when I was a kid. And I grew up in the Yakima Valley, and we had these irrigation canals.
Yes.
And it was a strict rule that my mother had that you never play in the irrigation canal. And the reason that was a rule is you never know when the water is going to open up
right.
and flow through the canal.
And you could be swept down river. Yeah.
People drown. It happened often.
Right? All the time.
Yeah. So one day during the summer, my brothers and I went down to the public pool, which we often did every day during the summer. That was like our babysitter.
And this is in Zilla, Washington?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yakima Valley, yep. And we were coming home from the public pool.
Okay.
And my brothers hopped down into the canal, and it freaked me out, right? And they were like, no, no, it's fine. And they helped me down, which this is a lot of what they did. They would help me into situations and then not help me out. Whatever. Okay, that's neither here nor there. We play in the canal because it had a little bit of water in it all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we hopped out and went on home. And my brothers coached me, don't tell mom that we played in the canal.
Okay.
And then they said, unless she asks directly, did you play in the canal? And then, you know, you're kind of stuck. You're going to have to answer. That's what, and by the way, my shoes were wet. She said, did you play in the canal? I said, well, since you asked. And I told her, and we all got in trouble.
Right.
And that was back in the olden days.
When you get hit if you're in trouble.
Oh, let me tell you. It's not okay.
No.
And it's not appropriate.
But it happened.
But my backside was well acquainted with a leather belt. So anyway, we all got in bad trouble. But that's what it reminds me of. Like, don't say unless you're asked directly.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you know, more business is done belly to belly than any other way.
Right.
So if you're in front of people, for us, we are business consultants. We help people's businesses grow.
Right.
There's a pool. Maybe the rule's just for us, because there was a pool of all those entrepreneurs there who need desperately your services.
Well, because I'll tell you what, you don't build a business as successfully as possible sitting in an office or at a table with your headphones on or your AirPods in, head down on your computer. You can build to some degree, but as I've said before, it takes offline as well as online.
Well, sure. And if you're developing something, the model where your headphones are on, that makes sense. If you're doing coding on the computer, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all that makes sense for.
Right.
If you are doing some kind of business where you need to go speak to business owners or customers, if you're sitting in what looks like the nicest public library you've ever been in, with your headphones on, you are not seeing those customers. You are not reaching those customers.
And the rule there is if someone has AirPods in or headphones on, you're not allowed to approach them.
Correct, which is also one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. And it's because it's an academic space. People are studying to be business people. They're not business people.
Right.
That's how they treat it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair to them.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we almost bought a building and created competition until we saw the facility. There's no way to compete.
Well,
zero debt service.
I understand what you're saying. However, I still kind of have that dream. And part of why I want to do that is because they don't allow certain businesses in there.
Right. No
so
real estate,
no realtors,
no lending,
mm-hmm. no insurance brokers, no direct sales.
Mm-hmm. No direct sales? Isn't every business direct sales?
No. What I mean is like DSA, Direct Sellers Association.
Multi-level marketing.
Network marketing or multi-level marketing.
So
they
somebody,
don't allow any of that.
So somebody who wants to be the single greatest Mary Kay person in the world cannot rent a one-person office, fill it with their stock,
correct.
And use it as their office.
Correct.
Cannot. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So, you know, and I thought, well,
that's a real business. How's it different? I want to know. How's it different than somebody who wants to sell eyelashes and manufactures them in their backyard? I'll tell you the difference. Those eyelashes are not nearly as good as the kind you can get through some multi-level marketing eyelash company. I can tell you that for a fact. There's no way you can make that profitable sitting at home in America. Because you're not getting paid 18 cents an hour to stitch them together.
I'll say a couple things.
Okay.
Because I have a pretty extensive background in that arena.
Yes.
Excuse me. The fastest way to put money in your pocket is to start one of those businesses. I still believe it today.
You mean multi-level marketing businesses or an eyelash business where you weave eyelashes at home out of fox fur?
Direct sales, network marketing, multi-level marketing. Fastest way to generate income right now without inventory, as long as you know how to hustle and talk to people. Now, having said that, there are very few people who actually make a living
doing that.
And even fewer who actually make it big. Cash money, you can see it on paper, their results.
Right.
In that arena. And every one of them is structured so that the company always gets paid, whether you, the consultant, the independent, mm-hmm, whatever, mm-hmm, whether you sell your product or service or not, the company right. always gets paid. So it's genius as far as the company goes. But
it's the lowest risk marketing of all time because you're having people buy in for the right to market your product.
Right.
I mean, it's genius. If I came up with it, I'd be the smartest guy I ever met. But no, you know, I had a bad multi-level marketing experience once, and that was selling National Security Associates, I think. No, I don't know. But it was water filters. I sold water filtration systems. My friend Sigmund Johns got me into it, and I went to the...
Of the Johns brothers?
That's exactly right. And his mother, I think, was a distributor.
Of the famous Johns brothers breakdancing troupe?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, just and wanted to clarify.
Brothers Raymond and Quentin check us out every now and then.
Hey.
And they were a little older than me, so they were like superheroes to me.
Right.
And then their oldest brother, Quentin, was the leader of the group.
Right. And you were the only non-John's brother, John's brother.
That was able to perform with them in public, yes. I was the only non-John's brother dancing with them. Because I was a cute, funny white kid. You know what I mean? I could dance. I was funny. I had a lot of character, a lot of moxie.
Yeah.
So that was a great
thing. You're
still
that guy. So back to the water.
And I would tell you, Sigmund is now deceased, but he was one of my best friends of my life.
Aww.
You know what I mean? We would go see birthday movies together every year. If Nathan couldn't go, Sigmund came. You know what I mean?
That's sweet.
So anyway, that's neither here nor there, but I went to their thing and I bought these water filters. I bought the system.
Yeah.
You know, I was 18. I was ready to rock.
Right.
I went to the Lafayette General Hospital and got an order for 600 of them and was told I couldn't fulfill it because I wasn't allowed to sell more than three at a time.
Right, because of the structure.
Correct. Yeah. And I said, no, but I can sell it. Here's my invoice.
Because they wanted one in each room in the hospital.
That's exactly mm-hmm. right. That was, heck, 30 years ago, 31 years ago. Can you imagine that? Couldn't do it, though. Not allowed. So that, that was the end of my multi-level marketing career. Right.
That's part of my...
Knocking on doors one at a time.
With those.
I thought knocking on doors one at a time would not be a good use of my time. Why not knock on one door and sell 600 of them?
Right. Smart.
But there you go. So it takes the same effort to sell one as it does to sell 600, by the way. It's one appointment.
Yes.
See what I mean?
I do. So. I totally get it. But the structure of the company was so that if you wanted to sell 600, you had to buy into their structure
levels
at a higher
up.
Level.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that, again, they get paid whether you do or not.
And so whomever your distributor it is, they would have to sell you 600 for you to sell 600.
Right.
And no one has 600 of those just sitting in their garage.
Right.
I'm sure somebody does, but I don't know who it is.
Well, that makes me think of that show.
Mm-hmm. The How to Get Famous Central Florida.
On Becoming God in Central Florida.
That's exactly right.
It's called.
That's right.
And
Kirsten Dunst.
If you've ever been in a network marketing or multi-level marketing company, you've got to watch this show because you will relate to so much of it.
Her husband is eaten by an alligator in the first episode, and she has to take over right after he quit his job. So there's no more life insurance. Right. I mean, he quit his job, got into a limo to party. They went off the road, and he was eaten by an alligator.
And that's the opening of the show. But I'll tell you, there's just a lot in that. In that show that felt very familiar to me.
And, you know, much like your story with the makeup place that we cannot name by name, I'll say it start. It sounds
no,
like...
No, you don't need to say it.
It sounds anything. Like
All
Larry
J. All I have to
J.
say is that I spent a lot of time inside the pink bubble.
Yes. So anyway, Larry J. was upset with you because of your training and your decisions, just like the other show was upset with her because of her, her decisions. She was doing water aerobics to get people to join the program at a water park where she worked in Central
Florida.
Don't
give away the whole show, though.
It's great, though.
Yeah. I just actually talked with one of my former pink sisters.
Yesterday. Yes.
And we were talking about how we could write a book and not to slam the company.
No.
But just based on our experiences. And she and I have never had a conversation about this, so I have no idea what her experience was, and she has no idea what mine was, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't know.
I can tell you it is a super business model if you're the owner of the company.
Super. Well, yeah, and I mean, it served its purpose in my life. For when it did, I met a lot of really great people. I made a lot of really close friends. And, you know, I also made some money.
Right.
Pretty good money, actually.
Yeah.
At the time, I thought it was great money. Now it doesn't seem like great money to me, but...
Well, your life's a little different now, that's
then
all.
Then it did. Well, and, you know, anyway.
Is that a sore subject?
Well, no, not at all. I just think we can move forward.
Okay. All right. So we talked briefly about our trip to Washington and all the people we saw and everybody we were happy to hang out with. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about how some of our plans weren't met because we did not get to connect with Greg Frechette. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll listen to this and call me and say, dude, why didn't you text me? I'm certain he'll say that to me, actually. And I didn't want to bug him. It was his day off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Love that guy. Anyway, so we did that. We didn't get to see JD, even though we wanted to. Mm-hmm. There were several realtors and friends that we wanted to connect with.
I know,
but we had appointment.
I was supposed to get with some people. And
Didn't happen. But the good news is in July, we'll be there for a 10-day period in July.
Yep.
So we'll have a lot of time to, you know, get together with everybody and, you know, see everybody we intended to see.
Yes.
Which I think will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I was just trying to think of any really good or really bad customer service stories from that trip, but I really don't have any.
I'll tell you what. I'm always impressed with TSA in Pasco. And it started this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the shift was, but there's a sure culture shift there.
Did they get a different... Did they get different leadership?
Like a new Homeland Security guy there at the airport?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. It's the friendliest, happiest TSA ever.
Yes, and...
And they had to stick their hand down my pants.
Which always puts a smile on my face. So
she was like, I got to see that area that's lit up on the back of my pants.
All right.
I've got to... Check that out. I don't know what words she used.
Check that out, I'm sure, is what she said.
She said, do you want a private screening? And I said, oh, no, do it right here. And then she laughed. But they're great. They're friendly and happy. And
super happy. I gave one of them our podcast business card so that he could share it with everybody in there. And that was a lot of fun. So I think next time we go through Pasco security, we're going to be celebrities.
We'll see.
The one that I told him to download had 7 unique downloads the day after I gave him the card.
Oh,
so
that's good.
I bet everybody who was on shift that morning has gone in and listened to how fun they are. And it was cool because every single person that was there the last time we went through and had such great things to say were there in the same positions.
Yeah.
The blonde older guy that came out and gave you trouble, he was there. He was just not engaging with us at that moment. The lady who took my license last time was the lady who took my license this time.
Well, there you go.
The kid who looked for my stuff because we thought I lost something and I didn't.
Right.
That kid talked to me. He's who I gave the card to. I mean, it was just a great... experience. Felt like old home week.
Yeah.
And when's the last time somebody told you that about going through security at an airport?
I don't know. But it was very different getting on the flight in Pasco to return to Florida than getting on the flight in Florida to fly to Washington.
Okay. So I'm going to let you tell this story. But again, I'm going to say we made it just fine. You lost 7 years off your life.
I did.
But we made it just fine. And I think I'm a monster because I had zero stress at all. It filled my anxiety time with rushing around. So I had no time to be anxious about the flight. I forgot to even take my pill until we were flying over, you know, I don't know where we were by then, Mississippi maybe, Texas. I don't know. We had gone a good half an hour before I ever even thought to take my Dramamine.
Yeah.
And then I didn't take one on the second flight, which was a little tiny lawnmower with wings flying from Seattle to Pasco.
It was.
And that one, unlike the flight we took coming home,
right. That
one going was the bumpiest flight I've ever been on.
Yeah, it was bad.
And I was on less Dramamine than I'd ever been on flying. And I didn't get sick. So there you go. Dramamine works.
No, but you did put on a show. It was funny. I don't know what to tell. The day before the flight, I said, hey, I think we should leave at this time. And you said, oh, no. We'll be fine if we leave at this time.
That's
which was
crazy.
An hour later.
That's what I said.
An
That's
hour
crazy.
Later.
It was 45 minutes later. But I said, that's crazy. You know, they board the plane 40 minutes early. I mean, we've got plenty of time.
So let me just fast forward to in 4-inch stilettos.
Yes.
I ran through the parking garage.
Yes.
Into the airport.
We got to the airport.
Hold on. Through TSA. I mean, everything had to go right for us to make that flight. We came through TSA. As I'm getting redressed.
No one was in line, by the way. All the stars literally had to align.
Yeah. We left our house at 10 minutes to 6.
No. Yes, we did. Yes. We left late. We were going to leave at 45, and instead we left at 50.
Well, like it would have mattered. Anyway, so we left at 10 minutes to 6. Our flight was at 7:10, I believe.
Yes, yes.
We are idiots because we live 45 minutes from the airport.
Well, we live 31 miles from the airport, though.
But
and if there's no traffic.
Depending on traffic.
Right. And if there's no traffic.
We're going into Tampa.
Right.
We're just dumb.
We've done it earlier in the morning during the 5 o'clock hour, and we get right to the airport
in like 37 minutes.
Yeah.
So but not this time.
Not this time.
So anyway, we get through TSA, and as I'm like putting my shoes back on, I hear them call the final boarding call for our flight, and they say, your flight is departing. We're closing the door in 1 minute, and we will leave without you.
Yes.
So I grabbed my stuff. I waved to you and kind of pointed the direction.
Right.
And took off.
Yes.
Running. And as I rounded the corner.
And waved to the lady.
I saw my gate and waved to her, and she waved back. And she said to the guy next to her, did you already close the door? He said, yes. And she said, hurry, reopen it. They're here.
Right.
And then we looked like jackasses because we get on.
I don't know why you think we look like jackasses.
We get on the flight and we take our seats in first class. So I saw all the judgment coming from the people because, you know, they've said, you know, we're waiting for these last two passengers.
Except here's the deal. And I'm going to stand by this. I did not know they closed the door 10 minutes before takeoff.
Yeah.
Because in Pasco.
I did, which is why I was freaking out.
Because in Pasco, which is the airport I've flown out of for the last 20 years, they often don't start boarding until the time it's supposed to take off. But they don't ever close the door early because the plane sometimes isn't there because
right.
It's a little commuter airport.
Right. And
I said to the lady,
yep.
It was 11 minutes before the flight. I said, man, we made it. Thank God. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, we have 11 minutes. And she said, well, technically you only have one, which tells me they closed the doors 3 minutes early.
Well.
And that's why they reopened them. Because we got there with more than 10 minutes to spare. It was 11 minutes. So they let us on the plane.
You're
we sat
splitting
down.
Hairs here, well, but this is what I want to say though about
yes,
this.
Yes, we pushed it way too late.
I have talked about anxiety before on our podcast. Everybody knows that I have anxiety.
Yes,
I was losing my mind internally the entire time from the time we got in the car at the house till the time we were seated on the plane. And I also want to say, because a lot of people are snooty, they make snotty, rude comments to me about us flying first class. I can't imagine what's being said behind my back.
Right.
I fly first class. First of all, I'm paying for my tickets. Nobody else is paying for them.
That's right.
So secondarily, I fly first class because I can afford it and I don't fight panic attacks the entire flight.
Right.
When I'm in a more open space.
Right. So having two seats in the space of three in the regular cabin, you feel a little less hemmed in. That makes perfect sense to me. And we've done it. We've done the experiment.
We have. And it was a mistake.
Yes.
Because I was a wreck the whole time.
Right.
Because with your long legs.
Yes.
You like to sit on the aisle.
Yep.
So I'm always against the window.
Yep.
So now I'm in coach against the window with you next to me.
And I'm
you're
not a small
tiny
fella.
Guy, right?
No.
And it's not good.
No. I like it though when we're in the little cramped area though, because we don't put down the little armrest and you flow into me.
Yeah.
I love that. You kind of lean on me. That's soothing
to me.
That's
because I'm trying to breathe.
Yeah. That's soothing to me. I really
enjoy
that.
But anyway, here's why
I'm a monster. I felt zero stress or anxiety getting to the airport or getting on the plane. And when you said to me how anxious you were while we were sitting there, it was a shock to me because I had zero anxiety. You did not push any of it onto me. I'm oblivious.
Unbelievable.
I'm oblivious. I wasn't even running like O.J. Simpson through the airport. You know what I mean? After stabbing a guy and running through the airport. No. That's the Hertz commercial that he ran through.
I was running in the parking garage mm-hmm. through TSA to the, you know,
mm-hmm.
in stilettos. What, I'm an idiot.
You looked great, though.
Well, thank you.
The whole
Although,
time doing
listen,
it.
It's because we were going to hit the ground and start having meetings in Washington.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I didn't know that the first meeting was what it was. Okay, so I'll.
Well, let me just say, first of all, I want to wrap up because I'm talking about what I was wearing.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't I didn't think about it. I just wore something that, you know, would look nice for my meetings when we got to Washington. And I didn't think about what I was wearing until I got into the airplane bathroom and realized I am an idiot. Because I was wearing a jumpsuit.
Well, the simple fact is we like to dress up when we travel because that's what we were taught as children. And everyone used to dress up when they travel. Now people wear yoga pants.
Right,
people
that's
wear
it.
Hoodies.
I'm not doing it again. I'm wearing workout gear and tennis shoes.
Okay. I'll wear bright pink spandex on every flight from now on. I'll just load it up.
Bet.
No, I'm not betting that. Are you kidding me? I don't.
Oh, that's not what that means. But anyway, move on.
What does it mean? Bet. What does it mean if it doesn't mean let's bet?
It means like I'm agreeing with you and you have to do it. It's like a variation of bet. Anyway,
I don't know what that means. Is this kid talk? Is this
the new
lingo from TikTok?
Yeah, it's like when you say less, somebody says, hey, you want to go grab a drink? Say less. It means, yeah, I definitely want to do that. Let's go do it.
So say the word less?
No. Two words, say less.
I don't understand what you mean.
I know, which is why I didn't want to start this conversation.
Say less is the response to, do you want to go have a drink?
Or whatever. Do you want to do this or that? Or
oh, because you're already on board, so say less. It's like saying you had me at hello.
Yes.
I gotcha. Yes, See, I can come around to what the kids are saying. I just don't know. I just don't know that language. It's crazy to me.
Okay, and now you want to talk about when we landed. In Pasco.
I don't need to.
Our first meeting.
Yep, I don't need to.
Oh.
It was just a lovely treat because it was my birthday.
Yeah.
And I had no idea you'd wrangled the kids and a friend of ours to come see us at the airport. I had no idea. And after not really ever having been greeted, I think Caitlin's come to the airport to greet me before, but everyone was there. It was great. It was such
everyone
a lovely
that
treat.
Was
everyone
there.
That could be,
you know, it's the middle
there.
Of the day. We're asking them to show up, but this actually is related to business. Because when you when you care about people, you sit and you think about how you can make things special for them.
Right.
So whether it's in your family dynamic, in your closest relationships, or in your business dynamic, in your business relationships, you win when you think about how to make them important.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's a great topper. If you think about making people important, you win if you can make them feel important. That's true. And you know what? That's being a kind human, not just being a good business person. That's being a kind person. And as I always say, the Austin team is kind. I like that. That's the greatest thing. That's very sweet, hon. Thank you very much. You made me feel very important that day, and you do every day.
Aw.
I think it's... I'm going to get a little too mushy, so I don't want to say that.
Okay.
For Londa Sherwood Austin, my name is David Austin, and this has been The Session with Londa and David.